ideology. Some people call it a cult, while millions around the world, including some top Hollywood stars, call it a life-focusing religion. It's even been granted tax-exempt religious status. But since its inception, Scientology has been surrounded by controversy. One of the biggest is how it views and treats members with emotional or mental problems. Matt Mahar reports about a young woman who had dedicated her life to the church, and her family is now wondering if that cost her her life. One note, we apologize for Matt's voice. He's got a little bit of a throat problem.
Growing up in suburban Dallas, Lisa McPherson was close to her family and had lots of friends. But according to her aunt, that all changed 19 years ago.
After she graduated from high school, she went to work for the phone company and got into something what they call Scientology.
The Church of Scientology became the center of Lisa's life. And when she died unexpectedly 13 months ago, her friends and family felt there were a lot of unanswered questions.
We were told many different stories from the different members of Scientology, where she was and what had happened, but we don't know what to believe.
Kelly Davis was Lisa's closest friend growing up in Texas. She says when Lisa called her in November of 1995, she got the impression she may be leaving the church.
She said she was coming to stay. She said she had to talk to me about a lot of things and that she didn't want to discuss it over the phone.
Lisa had been living in Clearwater, Florida. Scientologists started buying up properties there 20 years ago. And although they've improved them greatly, there's been a lot of bad blood between the church and local officials. Thousands of Scientologists work and study in Clearwater. Lisa McPherson was one of those. She had a high-paying job at a publishing company owned by a fellow Scientologist. She even donated nearly half of her $136,000 a year salary to the church. Elliot Abelson, general counsel and spokesman for Scientology, denies Lisa was thinking of leaving the church.
By everything she did and everything she said, was as close to the church at the time of her death as any other time in her life.
Were there any reports of anxiety being expressed by Lisa?
Yes, I believe she was having problems with her performance on her job. And I think she had expressed to her family and to others that she felt that pressure.
On the night of November 18th, 1995, it appears that the pressure may have become too much. Lisa was taken to a Clearwater hospital after a minor traffic accident.
Why was she taken to the hospital?
She was taken to the hospital by paramedics who came to the scene. And she was taken because she had taken her clothes off and was walking down the street.
According to hospital records we obtained from her family, Lisa told EMS workers at the scene she needed to talk and that she took her clothes off to make people think she was crazy. But soon after she was taken to the emergency room, some members of the Church of Scientology arrived. The records indicate they told the doctor that they did not want Lisa to see a psychiatrist and that they would be able to handle her themselves.
Would it be too strong to say that they don't believe in the benefits of psychiatric care?
They see more harm probably than benefits, yes.
The emergency room doctor insisted on Lisa having a psychological evaluation, after which Lisa said she wanted to leave. And according to hospital records, her Scientologist friends said they would take care of her 24 hours a day.
She signed herself out against doctor's orders. It's my understanding from the investigators that the attending physician in the emergency room counseled her that she should probably stay for observation.
After Lisa signed herself out of a hospital, she didn't go back to her apartment. She came here to the old Fort Harrison Hotel, the church's spiritual headquarters in downtown Clearwater. Church officials say Lisa requested to come here for rest and relaxation. But 17 days later, with bruises and abrasions on her arms and legs, and having lost a great deal of weight, Lisa was taken to another hospital. This time, she was dead on arrival.
A short time thereafter, we found out from the Pinellas Pascoe medical examiner that her death was not from natural causes. So we've been investigating her death as that of a suspicious death for over a year now.
There has been a war of harassment on the part of the Clearwater PD against the church. We believe that this story wouldn't be a story if Lisa hadn't been a Scientologist.
Abelson also challenges the competency of the ME's office and says it conspired with the police when it issued this autopsy.
They have absolutely no basis to say that she didn't die of natural causes.
How do you know that?
Because I've read the autopsy report.
The autopsy, given to us by Lisa's family, says she died of a blood clot in her heart. But look at the cause of the clot, bed rest and severe dehydration.
This is the most severe case of dehydration I've ever seen.
Dr. Joan Wood, the Pinellas County Medical Examiner, spoke to us after we interviewed Mr. Abelson. Dr. Wood says while dying of a blood clot is a natural cause, what led up to it, Lisa's severe dehydration, was not. She says tests performed during the autopsy indicate Lisa McPherson went at least 5 days without any liquids.
5 days, you think she went without liquids?
I think 5 to 10 is reasonable. It may have been 17.
What could possibly explain that?
I think there's several possibilities. The first is that she refused to eat or drink. Perhaps she was deprived of food and water. Because if you've ever been thirsty, you know how powerful that thirst drive is.
She rested. She slept a lot. Nothing unusual, really, until the end of her stay. She did get food, water. Obviously, people talked to her. But she got rest and relaxation.
But later in our interview, Mr. Abelson does refer to something unusual.
But it was something very unusual to see this charming 36-year-old woman hitting a wall.
With her body?
No, with her fist.
While Scientologists don't believe in psychiatric care, they do have their own methods for dealing with members who are having what they call psychotic breaks. Their teachings call for isolating members who they believe are a danger to themselves or others.
There was no instruction to isolate Lisa, was there?
No, absolutely not. That was Lisa's wish.
And she was free to come and go?
She was free to come and go.
Abelson says Lisa became physically ill very suddenly, and it wasn't until the last 24 hours of her life that the people around her had reason to be alarmed.
She lost a lot of fluids at that time. There certainly wasn't enough of a weight loss for anyone to suggest that she'd be taken to the hospital earlier than the last 24 hours.
You don't deteriorate the way Lisa McPherson did in a day or two, do you?
No, absolutely not.
On the evening of December 5th, Lisa was finally driven to a hospital by Scientology staffers in a church van. Even though an emergency room was only a quarter of a mile from the hotel, they chose to drive 25 miles on a busy highway, passing at least four other emergency rooms to get to the Columbia Newport Ritchie Hospital, where there was a doctor on staff who is also a Scientologist.
And had they called him, do you know?
Yes.
And did they describe symptoms to him?
In a very general way.
And this doctor recommended that she come to that hospital?
Yes. He said, get her here immediately.
According to hospital records, the Scientologist who drove Lisa said she stopped breathing just as they approached the hospital.
Doesn't common sense dictate to you that they would have called an ambulance?
Well, I think I can't apply my common sense to the situation because I wasn't there.
These were adults, weren't they?
Certainly they were adults.
Educated people?
And certainly the fastest way to get her to the doctor was
call an ambulance.
To put her in a van and drive her.
You have a woman who's dehydrated. She's got severe diarrhea. She's had excessive weight loss. And she's going in and out of consciousness.
But she's sleepy. You know, you're making more out of this going in and out of consciousness. She's tired.
Abelson says on the day Lisa died, she'd participated in the discussion about going to the hospital 25 miles away, and she'd even walked with help partway to the van.
I spend some time in court, as you can imagine, and so I'm very careful with my wording. And my wording would be this. From the time that Lisa McPherson died, backward 24 to 48 hours, she was unconscious.
Comatose, unconscious.
Yes.
She didn't sit around that day and decide whether or not she was going to go to the doctor.
Absolutely not.
After she was pronounced dead, Dr. David Mankoff, the emergency room physician who's also a member of the church, drew blood from Lisa and had it tested. The test results show a staph infection, which church officials say could explain Lisa's rapid deterioration and her death.
She did not die of an overwhelming staph infection.
Did a staph infection contribute or cause the blood clot?
No. No.
Dr. Wood says she can't explain the cuts and bruises on Lisa's body. They may have been from falls before she was comatose. Abelson maintains that the staph infection could have caused the bruises. The autopsy also refers to insect bites on Lisa's body.
Well, I can't explain the insect bites other than there were a lot of people probably coming in and out of the room, and there's a lot of mosquitoes in Florida. So that's how that happened.
No, they're not mosquito bites. They appear to me to be cockroach bites.
How could Lisa McPherson sit there and let cockroaches bite her while she's laying on a bed?
If she's comatose, it can happen and she doesn't know it and doesn't react to it.
I would like for them to get to the bottom of it and find out exactly what happened to Lisa.
Officials at Scientology say the ongoing investigation is the product of long-standing hostility toward the church in Clearwater, and that they'll be able to prove that there is an organized conspiracy against the church.